The rain in Spain falls mainly on the plain. The rain in Spain falls mainly on the plain. Oh, the rain in Spain. On the plain, on the plain. There's no such thing as bad weather, only different kinds. The delicious sunshine, the refreshing rain, the bracing wind, and the exhilarating snow. This is Dr. Herbert Albarelli with the I am the Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Instant Illumination. Now, there's no such thing as bad weather, only different kinds. The delicious sunshine, refreshing rain, bracing wind, and the exhilarating snow. Now, we're singing The Rain in Spain Falls Mainly on the Plain. We remember that from My Fair Lady, where she was learning how to speak with perfect grammar and perfect diction and all that sort of good stuff, and it was very helpful to her. But there was another symbology there that we might have missed. Were they complaining about the rain in Spain that falls mainly on the plain? What did they have that the rain in Spain was falling on in the plain? They had gardens, they had plants, they had vineyards, they had orchards, they had everything that without the rain, the plain would be very plain. And so, who wants a plain plain? We want a rainy plain with lots and lots of wonderful growing things and the opportunity to sing, the rain in Spain falls mainly on the plain. Our hearts at all times should be filled with the joy and the song of laughter and happiness. And when we are doing that, then we live indeed in our ideal spirit, mind, and body. We live in our ideal spirit, mind, and body, and we let the rain nourish our ideal spirit, mind, and body. And the rain of beautiful words and the rain of beautiful music and beautiful notes and beautiful songs, that's what we want to nourish our ideal spirit, mind, and body. We live in our ideal spirit, mind, and body, and how often do we enjoy our ideal spirit, mind, and body? I think that everyone should have a deliciously warm waterfall in their backyard. I think that everyone should have a deliciously warm lake in their backyard. No alligators or anything like that, you know, just a beautiful, deliciously warm lake. I think that everyone should have the gentle, quaffing, summer-type breeze, even like autumnal breezes, the autumn breezes, that are just so delicious. They just sort of caress your body and make you feel that everything is fantastic with the world. I think that everyone should have beautiful trees in their backyard, and they should have a hammock hanging between a couple of these trees so that they could lie out there and enjoy the beautiful sunshine and the beautiful moon and the beautiful sky. The temperature salubrious all day long and all night long. Now, you say, wow, you paint an interesting picture. You are really very foolish to even have such thoughts in your head. You know that doesn't exist. Hey, why not? Why not? Let's just be absolutely irrational, as I always am, and let's just say I'm a rich man. And so I build a waterfall in my backyard, just like I would have in Hawaii, or maybe just go to Hawaii, but build a waterfall in my backyard, wherever I may live, and have it with deliciously warm water coming over it that's a little just makes me feel wonderful. And then at the bottom, a beautiful little lake where I can swim and enjoy myself, and all these lovely trees around that I planted, you know, and the hammock between the two. And so I'm in New York. It's cold in New York, you know. And I don't always have that beautiful breeze, that warm, delicious breeze blowing across me. So I have to do something about it. So I put it inside of a building. And so I have this beautiful waterfall and this lake and the trees and everything inside of a building. And I have the roof of the building so it can be opened. And I can look out upon the sky and I can feel the lovely breezes when they're there. And when they're not there, I close the roof and the ceiling is painted like the sky. And so I have the circulation system bringing me the lovely warm. Oh, Herb, that is so mechanical. That is so you know, just garish. It's not really pleasant at all. Well, I paint you a picture. And as I paint you a picture, you think, "Ooh, hey, isn't that nice? Ooh, hey." And then I tell you it's inside of a building. You say, "Ah, well, hey, it was nice before I got it in the building. Well, why should it be less nice once it's in the building, hey?" You know, it's all a matter of our attitude, our consciousness. Now, if that's all you know, just look at the Star Trek movie and look at how they have this holodeck. You know, the holodeck?
Yeah, hologram.
Remember the holodeck with the holograms? Remember how it was? And it was whatever they wanted to visualize it to be. Well, hey, that's not so far in the future. If the Star Trek people can think about it and have it manifest, look what they did in Buck Rogers' days, you know, back in the 30s and 40s. Buck Rogers was doing things that were, even before that, the 20s, doing things that just could not be. And Jules Verne's 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, my goodness sake, whoever would believe such nonsense at the time that it was being promoted? And today, we say, the holodeck, hey, that's just something your wild imagination does. No. Whatever the mind of man can think about and believe in, he can achieve it. And we're doing it. I read you an article just recently written by a scientific journal, and it was published in the Discovery magazine, and it said that teleportation is possible. What they do is they teleport the essence of one set of atoms into another set of atoms in another location, and they said that the quantum physics concept of no space, no time is all the more evident because no matter where these things are, they are one and together. Now, that's unbelievable. That's irresponsible. That's stupid scientific thinking. Hey, they have reason to believe what they believe. And did you hear what I said? Were you listening to what I said? The quantum theory, the Big Bang theory, these are all theories. These are all Star Trek holodeck type things, you know, the imagination. And you're believing the scientific theories because the scientists have said it. And scientists are reliable people. Well, I hope not. Scientists have to be imaginative people, creative people. When Madame Curie came up with the radium sort of thing, when she came up with the material, it was an accident. She had left her experiment go overnight, and in the morning it was there, and she couldn't figure. Then she couldn't figure out what to do with it because what am I going to do with this strange substance that came by accident? And lo and behold, what did she do with it? It became a very important force for medical science. And even today, it's a very important force. And you know, this may sound bad, but it's good. Doctors have to do autopsies on dead bodies because they want to know why the body died or if there is something that we should be aware of or if there is a disease that might touch other people. And the doctors had to take their scalpel and do all of their research. Now, the scanner can, within minutes, take a body, do a total picture of the body, and then at your leisure, you can research all the information about the body and about its effects. And it is more complete than any doctor could ever do it, because it touches areas that doctors never get to. Like, do doctors get into every cell of the body? Do they get into every nerve of the body? Do they get into all the lymph systems? Do they? They can't begin to do that. It'd be too expensive, you know. Unless there is something that they think is wrong and they go and investigate for it, they just say, dead on arrival, and off to the cemetery, you know, off to cremation or whatever. But this is the neat thing about all that. Modern science is changing the way we look at things. Now, the day will come when scientists won't have to do that, where people will not die. People will just move into another dimension, move into another body, move into another experience at their desire. They might go down to the body store, so to speak, and look over the bodies and say, that's a nice body. I think that I'll take that one. And so you don't take your head. You take the essence of your being, and it transforms into that body, and then you have a absolutely pure, perfect body that has no error in it whatsoever. My goodness, doesn't that sound way out? Well, it's not. It's not. Because what is it that is exciting in being a human being? It's what our minds do, what our minds conceive of. And the body, if we start thinking of the body, and there are a lot of gurus. You go to these old gurus, and you look at their face. Their face is like a baby's bottom, you know. You look at their body. It's a little chubby, but it's just perfect, you know. They spend, in their total meditation time, a good portion of that time recognizing their ideal body that they're living in. And they're living in it. And it's wonderful. Now, you see, there is no such thing as bad weather, only different kinds. The delicious sunshine, the refreshing rain, the bracing wind, and the exhilarating snow, and Star Trek. And one Star Trek that I thought was very charming, not very nice, but very charming, this naughty woman who was like a witch and a bad person, she got Commander Kirk or Captain Kirk, to stand inside of a chamber. Somehow she got him to do that. And she stood in the other chamber, and then she pulled a switch. And all of Kirk's beingness was put into her, and all of her beingness was put into Kirk. So she took Kirk's body and started running the starship and doing things. But Spock, of course, was able to perceive this because of his extrasensory talent, and he was able to understand that that was really not Kirk. And he found out where Kirk was and helped him escape from this witch's body. But you see, nonsense, silly stuff. No, it isn't. These are the dreams of tomorrow, and they're available to us today if we'll start dreaming them. You know, the field of imagination is what you might say the field of reality. And the field of substance, the field of appearances, is really the field of illusion. Because the field of illusion is always changing, whereas the field of imagination is always expanding upon itself, becoming more and more and more wonderful all the time. My friends, it's a joy to talk with you and to share with you. A lady from Singapore called and said she listened to our singing, and it was such a joy, and she's looking forward to us singing more on our three times a day programs here on the internet. And if any of you enjoy it, let us know. If you find it something less than salubrious, let us know that too. But of course, since we're perfect and you're perfect, everything we do is perfect. I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
Thank you.